Hi everybody, this is Terry Laundrie with our T3 observations for the 13th of September 2009. I wanted to start off this this update with a long series of indicators which I will follow up in the weeks ahead, and it's to address John's question, which was what's the problem about getting trapped in a rising trend channel with he has some clusters of apparently a Fibonacci and other dates at the end of September, which I would agree to. We're in a rising wedge pattern, and which is a bearish pattern because you're going to keep going up with higher lows, and then you're going to fall off. That's my mid-October top date for the T. But he's saying, shouldn't one gradually be selling into strength here as a possibility exists that two tops might lead to a very fast decline and trap us? Okay, thanks, John. Okay, so let's talk about some indicators that seem to address John's interest. I like the idea that he's doing the gradual selling, but that the indicators that I'm going to talk about now are have to do with trying to pick the spot, a different set of spots along the way up in this wedge pattern that you would want to sell into. You could sell something into one of them, and as you get closer and closer to the apex of this wedge, the dangers get greater and greater and greater. So, you know, you sort of have to think this problem out. The indicators that I'm going to use today are the upper channel, which is in the if we now switch over to the chart of the PDF file, you'll remember that previously we had some tops at the in the envelope channel, which is the top period is the red line. We went up to that top, and then we fell back, and we're going back up to that red line. The red line is a place where what he's talking about, what John's talking about, and what T-theory is talking about, is there are certain times when you like to make tops, but the upper envelope is a price which comes 90 degrees away from that timing consideration and deals mostly with momentum in the channel and so forth. So, if you look at the top of the chart, you'll see that the upper red envelope is 1063 for the S&P cash price. So we haven't reached that point yet, but that is a normal high, and you can see that as of Friday we're at 1043. So there's potentially there's a 20 point upside on the on the time that is a 20 point upside spread that you would like to gain before you enter this thing about selling into the strength. Well, that's okay too, except it's a moving target. The best way to handle that one is to go back. If you go back to last week's chart, and I have the data here. Let's see. For today, we have the high is given as 1063. If you go back to September 4th, we just roll back to the previous chart. You'll see that the high was 1054. So what that means that we're doing is we're rising 9 points a week. So if you begin to think that you're going into a later top date, you have to take the current high of 1063 and you add 9 points for every week that you go past it as a first approximation that it sort of come out that way because you were in an uptrend. That is a it's sort of realistic to me, and I believe that the mystery T, which comes up next week, is everybody sort of worry about that one because that's the next one in the sequence. But I think the red T in the chart, which comes out closer to the end of the month, but not quite at the end of the month, is the one that John is referring to from his techniques. And so if you give that as a 2 weeks from now, and you're rising at 9 points a week, that's 18 points of extra gain on top of the 1063, which is going to give you a number around that. It's going to be a little bit above the 1080 level, which I think is probably a reasonable estimate to carry for the future. The wedge formation problem, which is basically you keep making rising bottoms, bottom patterns, and you make rising tops, but the bottoms are coming up faster than the tops are going over. And then what happens is that it's sort of like a house of cards that's going to collapse. That we deal with in another way, and we will have to deal with that based on the envelope theory. You can see that when you come up in this T, we've been riding across the red channel top envelope, pulled back to it in mid-August, came up to it again, came back down, and we're now presumably rising up to that top date. I mean that top level, which is 1063. Well, we don't want to get ourselves into any trap, as John says, so we have to use another tool, which is the arms ratio, invented by Richard Arms, but sometimes on computers is called TRIN, and that number is deducible. If you go to the closing data, which we did for our volume oscillator calculations, which is the Dow Jones 2 hours after the close, it's the it's held for 24 hours, so you can get the data, and it's just for the New York Stock Exchange and so forth. And that's in a previous link. You'll see a definition for the arms ratio. My personal opinion is that definition is an oversimplification, but I just say to you that the arms ratio or the trend, whatever you find it, you should keep that on a daily basis. And if you see high numbers, which high numbers are above 1.0, 1.0 is neutral. So if you see numbers that are 1.2, 1.3, 1.4, 1.5, 1.6, that indicates a market that's getting more oversold. And if you see low numbers, which would be 0.05, 0.06, up to 0.08, that is much less than one, you're in an overbought territory. However, the twist that I put onto this, which I think is different than what they claim at that article, which is just a standard, it's a Wikipedia definition type thing, is that if you have to make a change on those definitions depending on whether they occurred on an up day or a down day. For example, if you have an up day and the market is clearly up and the trend number is high, which you would ordinarily say that this is an overbought condition, it means that the breadth figures are running ahead of the volume numbers, and that's very positive for the technical fact, because we're in an advanced decline team. If the advanced decline line is going up stronger than the volume line, that's a positive. At the same time, if you ever start a decline and you find out that the trend, you're in a declining phase, and you find out the trend is running at low numbers for like over 5 days, you get four of them are real low numbers, like 0.06, 0.07, 0.08, and then maybe there's one number that's like one, which is a neutral number. That is a bad sign, because it means you're going down, but you haven't reached an oversold condition. You're actually a little bit overbought, and that means you have problems coming later on. This will become important once we pass the mid-October peak, which I think will probably come out right, but it could be a kind of a toppy pattern. Anyways, going back to John's stuff, he doesn't want to get caught going to the mid-October peak, and I think he's right about the little red T there. You're coming into the red September, so I'm going to do some selling there, but I would not be interested in shorting until I get to the mid-October peak, because there's a difference between getting out with a safety margin. So let me back up now and talk about something that I thought that was maybe missed back in February when I was doing my post. In February, remember we made a low in November, and we came up and made a top in the early January time period, and we started going down, which would have been at least a retest of the November low, but actually went a little bit lower than into March. I started an analysis of the Barron's Confidence Index and led to the conclusion that we were making a low in the fund symbol is FAGIX, FAGIX, but it's the capital and income. And I know what happened is everybody says, well, that's not a very important we're not dealing with that, because we're dealing with high powered stuff, and so forth, and we want to know, the really the good stuff is. So What we have today is, and that made a bottom in March, just like the market did, and it's come up in bottom zones. And now John is saying he's really worried about getting trapped. Well, if you go back to that discussion of the bottom zones of the FAGEX, you find out that if year to date, that fund with the because it's a high income fund, it has high income, but it has capital appreciation because people are looking for the high income. That's up 52% year to date, and the year starts on January 1. But January 1 isn't even a low. If you go down to the bottom, it's even better than that. So you got 52%. Now the people that are really interested in making aggressive names would say, well, yeah, but something like emerging markets is up 57% year to date, and 57 is bigger than 52. That's true, but you have to factor in back at that time that high interest rate dividends coming to you are going to become more important than growth, because if you look at the world even at that point, and you're going to see that there's a terrible thing going on. The U.S. is a debtor nation. Consumer is being buried under debt. His real estate is declining, and so forth. So you have to have a little bit of foresight into this problem and say that you'd rather take a high yield on something that's conservative, and even though everybody wants to go over to something that's fast and flourishy, because what's going to happen is eventually you're going to run into John's problem, which is he's going to get trapped because things don't look too good. Well, they were never going to look too good before. So the difference here is that fund yields 7.4%, and they are less likely to be wanting to sell that when we get into these corrections or when we go over the end of this T, because they have no other alternatives. For the most part, we've got to go off for this mid-October, we've got to have a correction. Okay, the gold bugs all jump up and say, well, you got to buy gold. But gold doesn't have an income. And most people in the modern world are looking for income because they have a lifestyle which has to be supported. And so if you can say, well, okay, FAGEX has got a 7.4% annual yield, and the gold bugs say, well, you want those coins because we're going to go into a depression, the Federal Reserve is going to pump money into the system, and they're going to say we're going to have inflation and so forth. Yeah, but that's okay, but you still want the 7.5% because you have expenses to meet. And the argument that you're going to have a problem with the gold sounds good, but gold only, you can see what's happening is gold is rallying with the market recovery that we're getting here now. So if we're going to have a big correction after mid-October, gold is going to have a big correction. The bonds are going to have a big correction too, but it's going to be a smaller correction because they won't let go low of the 7.4% yield. So you have to figure all that stuff out. So if you figured that stuff out earlier, then you don't have this problem that John's talking about. You're going to get trapped. Where you're getting trapped is you're getting trapped with traders who are inherently suspicious. And they'll tell you one day, oh, this looks great, right, but the next time, but they're going to try and sell, and you know that they're going to come after you. So you've got to try and play the game of not being the sucker on the other end. That's a bad position to get into, and I would just say that I think that people get into that position, you're not thinking about what I talked about back in February, and you're better off to think about what I tell you in the future and not to just think about what you're thinking about as far as the numbers are concerned. Okay, so having said that, let's go through the mechanics of the business. What about the mystery tea? That's going to show up next week, and there are various opinions as to where that date is, but it's after the middle of the month. Okay, so we're going to start off, we got a couple of days, then we're going to get to the middle of the month, and we're going to go further on. That is a very long T, and I don't think I would play a lot of, even it could be right. Okay. If you look at the red T in the chart, that T is coming from the local bottom, and that's more likely to be right. And that's got a top that's later than the mystery T. So I think that what you're going to do is you're going to go, you're coming up and you're going to have some kind of problems around the mystery T top next week, but you're still going to go up better going into the end of the month. However, that mystery, that red T does not go to the end of the month. So you have to do something. That's probably where I'm going to do some selling, okay? Because that's, it's probably, it could be early. The red T computes before the end of September. On account of the center post is at the end of the month, and the top was a little bit after, it was into August by a couple of days. But I think that probably that's the one that you want to talk about. So I would agree with John's analysis that, that's the place that you want to do the selling. The mid-October peak could be a retest of that. You could go to that top date, come down, and then come back up to a mid-October top date and technically be in a topping pattern. But a lot of people would know that that was true, and it's sometimes hard to get the right prices. So he's right about you don't want to get trapped, but I don't think you want to get trapped at the mid, at the mystery T-top date. You want to get trapped at the red T-top date, which is where you want to do the selling there, because that'll get out. You still have another escape route later on. Now we get to the arms ratio. Let's just talk about the red line, which is the top of the upper channel here. How do you figure that? As I mentioned, it's 1063 today, as of Friday. It used to be 1054. You're rising 9 points a week, so you have to remember that the upside objective that you would might want to sell because you reached that, because it's likely to be a top, is 1063 plus 9 points every week that passes from last Friday. So there's no big rush on this stuff. But eventually, you run into the problem that is when you get into it, which is the same problem in the, I pointed out, at the first short range T, you have a new bull market top, and that's in the early part of June. But you notice you never made the red line. What you did, which was the indicator that you have a problem, is the market went into a toppy formation, and the arms ratio went into a sell mode, and which I will describe to you. So when you go up here, and we're going to go into the end of September, you've got two kinds of sell criteria that come out. One is you hit the upside level, which is basically going to be 1063 plus 9 points per week after this Friday's close, and could get you up to 1080. Depending on where you're going to go. And but if you run the arms ratio to too much of an overbought condition, that's a warning sign that you should probably sell, even if you have not made the red line. In other words, you're likely to be close to the red line, but if you can't get it, there's a certain point where you're running on fumes on the uptrend, and you might as well sell something, because you're going to have a correction after you're running on fumes, and then you're going to have to try to come back, and that's the one where you don't know whether it's going to come back, because you're passing the presumed September area for a top. So let me go through the concept of the arms ratio. You'll notice that when we came down let's go back to the time when we had the top the latter part of August. We went up to the red line and we had a top date. But I noticed at that time that the arms ratio was indicating that they were getting a lot of low numbers, and what that means is that if you get like over 5 days, usually the arms ratio idea is measured over 5 trading days. So if you get a 0.06, a 0.07, a 0.08, and a 0.075, which is 4 days, overbought, low numbers, which is overbought, and the fifth day is not an oversold condition, in other words, it's neutral one or less, it's around neutral, something like that, you're running on fumes, and you have a warning that you're going to have one of those little top problems right here. Okay, when you come down, we had the comment the oscillator went down to an oversold condition. You see that's the bottom red line, it hit it, that's an oversold condition. Okay, we got a comment that the market broke down, but it's not true. The market S&P low as of that early September low is higher than the low in August. Definition of a bullish trend is it's a higher low. Now we've come back up to the high. They don't want to go through it because they're all suspicious, But what's going to happen is that they're actually going to go through it, and you're going to take a run towards the upper red line, which is that moving target 1063, and then it depends on when they get there as to what the level is going to be. So next week, if you're looking for an upside, you're going to say, well, it could be 1063 plus 9 points, so that would be 1072. So 63 to 72 is where you're looking at. If you can hit it in there and you could sell, that's a legitimate sell signal. I mean, that's a legitimate place to take profits because you got there. It doesn't fit the time, but you have to remember that sometimes you just want to use the amplitude in the channels and not to be too greedy about the whole thing, okay? If that gets up there, it's possible you could have another pullback and get up to this red T towards the end of the month, and they'll hit it again. But the amount of money that you gain on that one is like another could be like another 7 points, another 9 points. So you know, it depends on how greedy you are on that point. So that's how you get. That's how you figure that stuff out. One of the things that's really, really interesting is that if you look at the drop coming down into the early September low, when we made that sharp direct correction going into early September, the arms ratio was 3.4. That is a very, very high number, and it means that everybody and their brother was trying to sell because everybody and their brother tried to figure out that they felt the market was going to crash, and they were wrong. Okay, so anytime you see very ultra high numbers on the arms ratio, it means they're all panicking, and the panic usually is going to run its course, and you're going to get a rally. The other interpretation, which I thought was interesting, I almost put an update on Wednesday, because as you were coming back up here, you had the unusual case of rising days when the arms ratio was running above 1. Now, that's an oversold condition. Usually, that only occurs when the market's going down. But when you are rising in the market and you are getting an indication that the market is getting more oversold, what it means is that the breadth of the market is going up faster than the volume, which means that the market is technically strong because we're in an advanced client T that's supposed to be bullish, so that's a good sign, okay? But they're not jumping onto it, okay? In other words, they don't believe it. Well, on Thursday, you get a punch up because the breadth of the market is a leading indicator. Then on Friday, the market comes back down, but the arms ratio is 1.46, I think it is, 1.46. So you're getting a case of nobody is showing any topping period as of last Friday. Okay, so that's bullish. It should be bullish going into the new week. And if you see, if you were to see a rally and the arms ratio was to come in with a very low number, that would be negative. Okay, but if you were to see that the market was trying to stabilize and the arms ratio closed with a high number, that's bullish because you're going to try and hit the red channel. All you got to do is copy this data down and look at it over the last 5 days. And anytime you can get four of the last 5 days to come up with a conclusion that you're either very low or you're very high, or sometimes you have a big number, which on one day is good enough. You can figure all this stuff where the market's going out, because what's happening is you're an advanced decline T, so you always want the AD numbers to be strong to confirm the bullish case. But if they don't want to buy because the volume, if the volume won't follow, it's just that they are. There's people sitting on the sidelines. They want to be bullish, but they can't find an entry point. And the reason they can't find an entry point is because there isn't any. Okay, the entry point was back in the center post of the T region, and they won't let you in. So you'll have to figure that out. Now, we're going to use these indicators as we go through, and I'll rehash all this stuff here. But you can pretty well read the market if you get the arms ratio and you get the oscillator calculations and so forth. And let's just talk about a couple of scenarios at the end. Now, you get to the end of September, what happens is, let's just say you get up to the end of September and that becomes your sell point and so forth. That's not a short selling point because you're in a bull market with a long term. What's going to happen is that there's a buildup of people who are very skeptical of this bull market, and all they're doing is they're short selling into the strength. And what happens is sometimes the T will give you a last burst. Unfortunately, it's not guaranteed. A last burst of the, and they will try to drive the short sellers up into a short covering rally going into what I believe is mid-October. It's also possible that that's just a sideways topping pattern if the pattern is deteriorating, so you can't tell. But it's usually not a good idea to try to do anything in that area until you get a little bit closer, because what you really want to do is make sure that if there is some short selling, you see it, then you don't have a problem anymore. Okay. Now let's talk about the problem of the correction and the reason why John says that you don't want to get trapped up here. As I explained before, and now I'm going to go up through the channel through the first short range T and the second range T, and I'm going to tell you what happens historically and why what I say is right. And what you want to do is remember why I'm telling you this is right, even though sometimes this, you're going to see things on the chart you think are wrong. In the when we finished the first short range T for the bull market, I said you should go down. That's a that is a decline of half the channel, meaning it goes from the red to the black, but not down to the green. Red going from the upper red envelope down to the green envelope. That's a full channel. The channels are symmetrical, so it's twice the percentage. So you either get half the correction, half the normal full correction, or you get a full correction. Now, when you come down and you look at what happened in the early July time period, it actually went below the black line. So it looks like it penetrated, and it's not a half channel. That is not the distance between the red and the black line. But that's not true, because if you go back to the top in June, you'll see that it never got up to the red line. If you measure the amount of distance from the top of the June correction down to the bottom in the early July correction, and you measure that distance, it is the same distance as the red, is the distance between the right the red envelope and the black center of the envelope line. In other words, it always does make it always makes a half channel correction. It's just that it didn't get high enough, and so the half channel has to be measured slightly differently. Okay, it's almost fundamental that the first correction in a new bull market is a half a channel. But after you finish the second short-range T for a new bull market, which is the mid-October peak, it should be a full correction. Okay, so we can now calculate what the correction should be, and that is that if you look at the numbers in the chart here, will tell you. It says that the upper red envelope is 1063, the 55-day moving average is 978. If that means that you are expecting an 83, I guess the math is right, that's an 83-point correction. Let's see, I did that right, did I? Yeah, 63 to 78, yeah, this is 83%. That is a 7.8% correction. So if you were to get to the red channel and you were to drop down from the, you did get to the top at the red upper envelope and you did come down the black line, that would be a 7.8% correction. But specifically, you say that it's the double that down to the green line. So if you double 7.8%, it is 16%. I mean, you're talking 16%, okay? So you don't want to go through this. So that's why John's right. You don't want to go through that one, right? Okay? So go back to my bond story. What do you do? Well, they don't go down that fast, so you can hedge them. But what you do is you take a short position, a modest short position, which is left in the bond position. And what you do is you use that to offset. But you have to ask yourself, when we get there, this is the question you have to ask you. Do you want to go down through a 16% correction or not? And the answer is probably not. Case of bonds is a special case. In the case of volatile stocks, the answer is no. And then you say, well, do you want to do the short sales? I would say the short sale is a bad idea probably in September, because you still have another chance, and the other chance gets you out of some other problems where you get a rally to. It's a short covering rally, and you don't want to be around there and get nervous about that sort of stuff. The second thing is, when you drop off the mid-October peak and you head down to the green line, you want to watch out what's going on for the arms ratio. The worst thing that can happen to you when you come off that top is you go down to the black line and you find out the arms ratio is low numbers, like 0.6, 0.7, 0.8, because you haven't reached an oversold condition. The last correction that we had a week and a half ago, it went up to 3.4, indicating that it had flushed out and it was in an oversold condition. If you go down and you were overbought, did you get to that black line, you're just going to blow all the way through down to the green line. So you don't want to get, you want to remember that if you're negative on that or you're short on that one, and you see low numbers going down, you're going to take the dive right through the channel to the green line. On the other hand, if you go down to the green, down to the black line, and you see a big set of numbers coming by in the arms ratio, they're going to mean that you're going to have a rally. You got to put up with that. But it'll still go down to the green line, in my opinion. Okay, because the procedures going back through new bull markets is always that after you get the second short range T out of the way, that they want to make a bigger correction. You know, maybe it doesn't go quite to the green line, or maybe it goes a little bit further to the green line, but it's not going to stop at the black line. Like it approximately did before. So put that all in your thinking cap there, and we'll get, and you know, from now on, that's all we're going to do for the analysis as we go forward. We're going to work on getting the mid-October peak right, and this red line, red T in here, right, and so forth. But we're going to factor it into the channels, the way the arms ratio is acting as a refinement to that, and everything will come out okay. Bye-bye.